Good morning, church. This morning I'll be reading from Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 to 18. So I'll give you a moment to turn to the page or find it on your device and we'll read. Daniel's dream of four beasts. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and the vision passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and he had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being, and the mind of a human was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given the authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The interpretation of the dream. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The 4 beasts are 4 kings that will rise from the earth, but the holy people of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. That is the word of God. Amen.
Thanks, Tony. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. As we go through the sermon, some of the verses will come up on the screen, but some of them won't come, so you'll need to have your Bible in front of you to refer to some of the verses that I will refer to. But before we come to this passage, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this morning for who you are, God of heaven and earth, God who has revealed to us who you are through the pages of Scripture. And so we pray this morning for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the enabling of the Holy Spirit to understand and also, Lord, to choose wisely as we live in these days. So, Father, that your name will be honored and glorified in and through us. And we ask this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you were here last year, we had a little bit of a look at Daniel chapters 1 to 6 in our sermon series. And we heard the story of how people of God lived in Babylon as exiles in a foreign land. And we read the stories of how God gave dreams to foreign kings and how he revealed its meaning to Daniel. How God controlled the rise and the fall of earthly kings and how God continued to prosper and rescue his people living in a foreign land. That was Daniel chapter 1 to 6. But as we move into the second half of the book of Daniel, the book kind of zooms out of Babylon to give us a bit of a cosmic view. It moves our focus from what is happening now to what's going to happen in the future, in the last days. It's kind of a time travel to the future, to the last days. But as you notice, there is this a difference in the style of writing as well, right? We move from this story type or narrative style writing to what we call the apocalyptic style writing. The word apocalyptic means, it comes from Greek, which means to unveil or reveal or uncover something that is hidden, or something that will happen in the future, and often through dreams and visions. So this type of language or literature would use symbols and images and highly figurative and descriptive language. So as you read these chapters, you will come across angels and ugly-looking beasts. Rams and goats and horns that are talking and numbers, painting us a picture of what is yet to come. And to encourage the readers to do something. In other words, what we have in these chapters is God revealing to Daniel and through him to us what's going to happen in the last days, so that we can live wisely today. Today we come to Daniel chapter 7, the first of many dreams and visions that Daniel sees. Now, as you know, we've just come back from a week of holidays up in the Mid-North Coast, and we had a fantastic time. And if you see our photos on Facebook, Benji had a fantastic time. If he had a good time, we had a good time. But one of the things that I love is I love driving in country roads, these long roads, and I love it. And as you drive, you come across these road signs, don't we? These warning signs, like the traffic is merging, or the road is slippery, there's a crest coming up, there are kangaroos for the next whatever kilometers, and there's a steep descent. And all these warning signs, what do? They tell us what is ahead of you. Somebody's gone before us and kind of mapped what's happening, and they tell us, they warn us of the hazards, the dangers that is ahead of us, so that we can take care as we drive, so we can drive to the conditions, and we can make wise choices. And I think Daniel chapter 7 is something like that. It is warning us that the difficult days are ahead. There are difficult days ahead of us. So choose your king wisely. Choose who you serve wisely. So Daniel chapter 7, I'm going to look at this under three headings. What, how, and why. First, what did Daniel see? And he sees this vision passing through his mind as he was laying on his bed. And he saw these four winds churning up the great ocean. And out of these raging seas, he sees four great beasts. Verses 4 to 8, with each beast that arises, the image gets more and more disturbing, right? Have a look at verses 4 to 8 in your Bibles. From a lion with wings of eagle to a lopsided bear feasting on fresh ribs stuck between its teeth. To a third beast looking like a leopard with four wings and four heads. To a final beast, which Daniel can't even describe. He could see only its teeth, this iron teeth, large iron teeth crushing and devouring everything that's in front of him. And this beast is terrifying and frightening, very powerful. A beast also has 10 horns coming up. And particularly a strange and very gross image of another little horn that comes up with its own eyes and mouth that speaks boastfully against God. As he was seeing this, suddenly the vision changes. The scene changes. The raging sea disappears. And he sees it is replaced by this heavenly courtroom where the Ancient of Days, which is another term to describe God, appears with all his majesty, purity, power, and sovereignty. He appears, and in front of him stands millions and millions of heavenly hosts ministering to him. And then he sees God destroys this beast with the horn and is thrown into the blazing fire, giving victory to God's people. There's this great reversal, isn't it? There's a picture of vindication, victory, justice for God's people. It is a great ending, isn't it? But how did Daniel respond to this vision? Look at verse 15. Even after he hears that God would fully and finally destroy this evil and the wicked kingdom, he's terrified, isn't he? He's troubled in his spirit. And the vision passed through my mind, disturbed me. And what troubled him most was this fourth beast. When the interpreter gives him the meaning of this vision in verses 15 to 27, Daniel wants to know only about this fourth beast and its horn in verses 19 to 22. I wanted to know the meaning of this fourth beast. Because he's different. The first three came and went swiftly, but the fourth one seems to last a long time. More arrogant, more powerful, terrifying. The horn that came from this beast was waging war against God's people and the saints, defeating them, verse 21. Evil seems to be a permanent fixture And Daniel is troubled. And he wants to know the meaning. What does this mean? And the interpreter who's there, he approaches him and he says in verses 23 to 25, he gives an interpretation. The fourth beast is this last, or with the last horn is the final kingdom. It is going to be a time of great distress on earth, especially for God's people, where God seems to have given power to this beast, and he is allowed to oppress the saints, God's people. And he will do everything in his power, verse 25, to distract God's people. Saints will be handed over to him for a time, times and a half a time, which means for a long time. But then we hear afterwards that there will be an end. God will destroy this beast. There will be an end to this. But even after hearing that God would destroy the whole kingdom that is against him, and God's people will rule forever. Have a look at verse 28 at the end of this chapter. How does Daniel feel? He says, this is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts and my face turned pale. But I kept the matter to myself. How could he tell this to someone? It is so disturbing. It is so troubling because he's anxious, worried, deeply affected by what he saw, because he sees difficult days are ahead. It gets worse before it gets better. But why? Why would God give this vision? Why would God give this vision to Daniel and through him to us? And if you remember, Daniel and his people, they have already been through so much hardships, haven't they? Some terrible things have happened to them. They've been carted out of their homeland to this foreign land as slaves. They have seen their towns, their houses, their own temple being burned down to the ground. Some of them have even seen their own families being killed, taken away from them. And once in Babylon, their identities were changed, wasn't it? I mean, they were given new names, they were given new clothes to wear, new customs, new food. They were forced to worship idols. There was this constant pressure to conform to the ways of the Babylonians. And although we saw in the first six chapters that God is rescuing Daniel and his friends from fiery furnaces and lions' dens, life was hard in exile. And it is normal, isn't it, to expect better days. Dream of leaving Babylon and going home. Perhaps that's where you are this morning. Life is hard. There is pain and suffering in the world, wars and natural disasters, pandemics, three-year-olds get stabbed by their own father, a teacher sexually abuses their student, there's antagonism against Christianity, and that is normal. Our workplaces are toxic, We are constantly forced to adopt and conform to ungodly ways. And closer to home there's sickness, disability, cancer, and there's death. And sometimes, frankly speaking, answers to prayer is far and apart, isn't it? Perhaps you are tired and exhausted and disappointed and angry, or on the verge of giving up your faith, or you might have even given up your faith in God. And like those who were in exile, it is normal for you to dream of better days. Expect a better tomorrow. So to those who are already struggling through life, those who are hoping for a better tomorrow, God gives this vision. Why? I want to draw three lessons by way of application for us. First, they confirm our experience and shapes our expectation, isn't it? These visions are given to remind us that life in the last days will be hard. It will especially be hard for God's people. The pain, the hardships, the heartaches that we experience, the rise and fall of evil regimes, the violence against Christianity, the struggles of Christian life, is all part of living in the last days in a fallen world. You may remember the Apostle Peter writing to his friends, and he says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal or the trials that come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Remember what Jesus said? He said, "In this world, you will have trouble." So these visions of peace confirm our present experience. But it also shapes us, our expectations, isn't it? They're saying, don't expect life to be better just yet. Don't expect it to be better tomorrow. Life this side of heaven will continue to be hard and painful. It will be a struggle. Our safety is not guaranteed. And like Daniel, hearing and experiencing, going through this reality, it is okay for us to be troubled. It is okay for us to be terrified. It is okay for us to mourn and grieve. It is okay for us to be anxious and worried about the future. Because these dreams, visions, confirms our expectations, or shapes our expectations and confirms our experiences. But then it doesn't just tell us that the days ahead are bad and difficult. No, this vision gives us the last page of the story, doesn't it? It gives us the last page of the story. Now, I don't know about you, I don't like to know the last page of the story that I'm reading, because it doesn't make sense. But in this story, I don't mind looking at the last page of the story, because it has an amazing end. It is the end that we need. It is the end that we need. As we already have seen, the vision of this terrible beast is not the end of the story. Verses 9 to 12 has this great reversal that we saw earlier. God doesn't just destroy the evil beasts and throw them into the blazing fire. Have a look at verses 13 to 14. He hands the kingdom to the rightful king. The Son of Man coming in the clouds, coming in the clouds of heaven. Did you notice the earthly kings are coming from the ocean, and God's king comes from above? And the Son of Man is another term for Messiah or Jesus. And he is given authority, sovereign power. Men and women from every nation and tribe will worship him. And unlike all the other kingdoms that has risen and fallen, his dominion will last forever. It'll never pass away. His kingdom will never be destroyed. The last page, friends, isn't it already dazzling and beautiful and exciting? But wait, there is more. Have a look at verse 18. But the saints of the Most Holy will receive the kingdom, and they will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Look at verse 27. Then the sovereignty, power, and the greatness of kingdom under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High, those who have been trampled underfoot, those who have gone through difficult seasons and troubling seasons. They inherit the kingdom. God's people, those who have trusted God, those who have been faithful to him, those who have remained true to him till the end, will inherit the eternal kingdom of God. They will get to live under God's king for eternity. And as we literally turn to the last book of the Bible, the last page of the Bible, we hear that this kingdom is a kingdom where there is no more pain or sickness or death or darkness. It is a kingdom with a king who will wipe away every tear from every person's eye. Even God shows the last page of the story to us. When we see the increasing atrocities and evil and wickedness around us, when we face struggles and pain in our own Christian journey, aren't we grateful that God has shown us the last page, how things are going to end? Although our safety is not guaranteed now, we are reminded that our future is fixed in Jesus. It is secure in Jesus. And if our future is fixed and secure with Jesus, then the wisest thing to do, friends, is to serve him and choose him as our king, which means this vision calls people to trust in Jesus. Daniel wants us to know those who have bended their knees to King Jesus will stand with him for eternity. So if you haven't trusted in Jesus today, this is an invitation for you to trust in Jesus. Now, Bible doesn't guarantee, now you probably know this by now, by what you heard today, that life isn't going to be easy. You will not be healed. You won't get a visa if you trust in Jesus. All your troubles will not disappear. And as we've heard, life will be hard, especially for God's people. But those who trust in Jesus today will be the ones who will inherit the eternal kingdom. And we get to spend eternity with Jesus. And for those who trust in Jesus, he promises that he will be with us, that his love, his unconditional love will be for us. There is nothing that can separate us from his love. So if you haven't trusted in Jesus, today would be a good day to trust in Jesus, to make him, to choose him as your king and to serve him all the days of your life. And if you have trusted in Jesus, which I assume all of you have, most of you have, then it is an encouragement for you to keep trusting in Jesus. Remain in him, abide in him, stay connected to him, because the days are going to be difficult. When the pressures of this world, hardships, fears and anxieties try to squeeze Jesus out of our lives, we must hold on to him. Which means let us continue to know him. Continue to serve him, continue to obey him, continue to grow in our faith. Don't give up fellowshipping with other believers. Don't give up going to church, coming to church. Take every opportunity to study God's word. Listen to sermons. Be part of a Bible study group. And most importantly, when life gets hard, keep turning to the last page. Last page, and remind yourself how the story will end. That our future is fixed to Jesus. That the one who holds our future is the one who holds us today. The one who holds our future is the one who holds us today. Life will be difficult in the days to come. We know this. We don't have to be told. God shows us the last page so we can continue to trust in him and hold on to him. In a moment, we are going to take part in communion. It is an opportunity for those who have already trusted in Jesus to reaffirm their faith, recommit and reaffirm their faith in Jesus. As we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we remember that Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago to bring us to a relationship with God. And to those who trust in Jesus, God has prepared eternity to spend with him. So as we eat the bread and drink from the cup, we affirm that we have a relationship with God through Jesus. We affirm that although life is tough today, that our eternity is fixed with Jesus. And we look forward to spending eternity with him. But we also take this opportunity to confess, to ask forgiveness for the times where we have given up on living as Jesus our King. Times that we have succumbed to our temptations and sinned. And we take this opportunity to recommit ourselves to follow him as his disciples. So before we take communion, before we eat and drink, I'm going to give us a moment to just close our eyes and then reflect on what we've just heard. And maybe you might want to say a prayer of some sort to commit yourself. Take this opportunity also to be thankful for the relationship that you already have through Jesus. And if you haven't trusted in Jesus, take this opportunity to trust in Jesus. So let's do that. Let's do that for a few minutes. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this morning. We are thankful for who you are. Lord, as we listen to these words, as we read these words from Daniel, Lord, we are thankful that we have trusted and believed in a God who knows the end from the beginning. We are thankful, Lord, that you have showed us, although life is tough now, the end is going to be beautiful. It is victorious. And we are thankful for Jesus, who died on a cross to give us a relationship with you, which is the only thing that matters in eternity. So forgive us for the times, Heavenly Father, for giving up on our faith. Forgive us for the times, Heavenly Father, for falling into temptations and sinning against you. We're thankful for your words, which reminds us that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and you will forgive us our sins and wash us completely. Please do that, we pray this morning. And thank you for the bread and the cup that reminds us of the precious sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, who gave himself for us. Amen.